It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Our state capitol report continues as UW System President Ray Cross joins us to talk about a report from state auditors on UW System tuition revenue, among other things. According to the report, UW tuition revenue grew by $366 million over the past 9 years in spite of a significant drop in in-state student enrollment. So what's driving the decline in Wisconsin residents attending UW schools, and who's making up the difference? Are you a UW student, or did you graduate from a UW school? Were you an in-state student or an out-of-state student? Why did you choose the UW? Was it tuition cost? Did they have your major? What was the experience like, and what do you think about frozen tuition for in-state students? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. Ray, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, John. It's good to hear my old friend. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well for a retired guy. State auditors found UW tuition revenue grew $366 million over 9 years as non-resident enrollment surged. What's driving the increase in out-of-state enrollment at the UW?
Well, it's actually the University of Wisconsin is a very good buy for out-of-state students. And for several years, I think there were a number of adjustments that should have been made in our out-of-state tuition to put us on par with others. So that continues to make us very attractive to out-of-state students. And as you noted, that number has grown pretty significantly over the last decade or so.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, it was about 22,000 students, non-residents. Last year, it was 32,000. So that's a pretty big increase.
Yes, it is. And actually, that's very healthy for the state because of the declining demographics and the need for employees. If Wisconsin's economy is going to grow, as it should, we need people. And the University of Wisconsin is an invaluable asset in attracting and retaining people from other states. Unless the population is going to start having more children, I think that's about one of our best solutions.
Well, the audit also found that in-state enrollment dropped by nearly 13,000 students during that same period of time. So we picked up an increase of 10,000 on the non-resident side. We lost 13,000 in-state students, but the out-of-state students are paying a lot more money to come here compared to in-state. And there's the difference in the tuition revenue. Is that the explanation there?
Well, I think it's part of it. We also increased tuition for professional school and graduation students, graduate students. Sorry, and so that's a part of it. But out of state tuition makes up the most of that, John.
So the decline in in-state enrollment is tied to population. Our high schools are producing fewer graduates. Are there some parts of the state that this affects more than others?
Absolutely. That's one of the challenges. Obviously, the smaller communities, more rural communities, are not only experiencing an out-migration of individuals between the ages of 18 and 65, but those students that are potentially 18-year-old students are also leaving those areas. There's an exodus from the small and rural communities to a more urban, larger community environment. So you're seeing that exodus exacerbating the problem with demographics in the smaller communities, particularly in, as you know, John, the northern and central parts of the state. That's a big challenge.
Yeah, my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin Superior, is one of those schools that has been negatively impacted by the drop in enrollments. What about Wisconsin's two-year schools? We saw some big changes there in the past year, merging them into moving them out of colleges and extension and moving them to closer ties to regional campuses. What's going on with our two-year schools?
Well, that's where I think the enrollment declines in those areas has impacted the university the most. As you might suspect, those institutions were established in small typically rural, not exclusively, but typically rural communities. And when those communities then suffer a significant decline in demographics, why, that impacts these institutions first. So they have been impacted the most over this period. And if you look at the data, it continues. It's starting to stabilize, but nevertheless, you're seeing a significant drop in those numbers. The idea of restructuring, which has gone, knock on wood, John, it's gone very well. There are obviously a few challenges that as there always will be. But the goal there is that students continue to pursue any institution they want. There's a guaranteed transfer package agreement. So you go to any one of these two-year institutions and you perform appropriately, you'll be guaranteed admission to any other four-year, including Madison and or Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ray Cross, president of the UW system, and about what's going on with enrollment, how out-of-state students are helping to make up the difference in tuition revenue, not just out-of-state students, but that's been a big driver for this for the UW, and what that might mean going forward. And we're wondering what you think about all of this. And maybe you work within the UW system. You might even work with prospective students. Why do students attend or decide not to attend a UW school? And how do you convince students to stay or to come to Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at The Morning Show. You know, I can't even read my own copy. I need new glasses. Ray, let's talk about strategies. The UW system is obviously working hard to try to attract more students. What are some of the things that you're considering to bring in more students?
Well, there's a couple of things. We have accelerated our efforts to reach out to what's referred to as non-traditional students, those students 25, potential students 25 or over. There are about 750,000 individuals in Wisconsin that have some college but do not have a degree. And that is an opportunity to help employers find the kind of talent they need and talent this state needs. We have been, secondly, one of the reasons that this is a challenge, is, and the LAB report cites that, we've graduated more numbers, even though we may have fewer students. We're graduating the largest class in the history of the university this year. So that's also complicating it. That's good. We're putting people through the system faster, and that's a good thing. But it also exacerbates the demographic issue, John.
81% of in-state graduates are living and working in Wisconsin 5 years later. That's a good thing. Are you starting to see evidence that non-resident graduates are staying here as well?
We are. We're seeing that evidence. I think Oshkosh has increased its the graduates that stay here from out of state, that stay in the state and are employed here. They've increased that by over 10% in the last couple of years, and I think that's a huge improvement. We're also very aggressively trying to secure every student we can an internship with a Wisconsin employer, because we know that if a student interns, they are likely going to be offered a job, assuming they're successful, and in doing that, are more likely to stay in the state. So that's something we're working very hard with the business community.
Mm-hmm. What other reasons are there for non-residents opting to stay in Wisconsin? They come for the education, stay for the craft beer, or what is it?
Well, I'm not sure about that. There's so much to like about Wisconsin, and I think a lot of the marketing that we're doing out of state that talks about how easy it is to do things in this state, whether it's recreational, and students nowadays particularly younger graduates, they want to have a life outside of the office. And here you have outdoor life, you have city life, you have all of those things. And, of course, you have the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, and mm-hmm. the Badgers, and you have a lot of other things that make it really an exciting and a very vibrant environment.
Let's take a call here. Peter joins us from Winona. Peter, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my question for Mr. Cross is, has the two-year college system in Wisconsin considered adding athletics or expanding athletics as a way to boost enrollment. I know in Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois, the two-year colleges with sports and athletic teams seem to have pretty strong enrollment, both in-state and out-of-state.
Peter, thank you for your question. Ray?
I think so. I know in my history, having a strong and vibrant athletic program actually does improve enrollment. It attracts students who often are marginally successful in high school and can play in these kinds of intercollegiate athletics. We're having some difficulty in figuring out exactly how to do that really well. The former program within the two-year campuses it's an exclusive kind of conference, and we're trying to figure out how to propagate that even further or make it much more viable in the future, Peter.
Peter, thank you so much for that call. When you look at graduation rates, how do they differ between UW schools?
Graduation rates obviously get close to 90% at Madison. They drop down because they serve obviously different level of student, and the more part-time students you have, those graduation rates become less meaningful for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, that's who those institutions serve, and that's an appropriate thing. So it drops all the way down into the 30% range. But if you look at this over a six-year period, they're much more comparable in terms of how they look with their peers.
Ray Cross, president of the UW System, is our guest on this segment of the State Capitol Report. Our conversation with President Cross continues in a moment. You can join us at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. In this edition of the State Capitol Report, we're talking about a recent report from the state's auditors about tuition revenue and enrollment across the University of Wisconsin. UW System President Ray Cross is with us this morning. Are you a UW student, or did you graduate from a UW school? Were you an in-state or out-of-state student? Why did you choose the UW? Tuition, some other reason? They had your major? What was that experience like? And are you staying in Wisconsin to work? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us in Deerfield. Kevin, good morning.
Morning. Thank you. My wife and I both have bachelor's and master's degrees from UW-Madison. Our daughter graduated from UW-Platteville just this past Saturday, and we have a son who will be attending UW-Madison next fall. One thing I've wondered, and I don't know if what the statistics are with respect to UW-Madison, but I would have this concern that there might be some preference given to out-of-state applicants because they come with a higher tuition, especially with respect to UW-Madison. Can you talk to that at all?
Kevin, thanks for the call. Ray Cross?
I think I can, Kevin. Actually, with the declining high school numbers in Wisconsin, Madison is committed to a floor on 3,600 freshman students, and, of course, then it accepts transfers. So as a percentage of the high school graduates, we're actually taking more Wisconsin students than we have in the past. If you look at our overall percentage of Wisconsin high school graduates that attend the university, we're roughly the same as we've been for the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, pretty consistent around 32%, 34% in that range. So I would argue that we're actually taking a larger percentage of Wisconsin high school graduates, Kevin. In the process, it looks like we're taking more out-of-state students because Madison is growing its overall numbers, but its in-state numbers are actually higher or at least as high as they've always been.
Kevin, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Chris in Mount Horeb. Chris, good morning. You're on the Morning Show.
Good morning. you know, 6-7 years ago, the higher ed industry was, or higher ed in general, was abuzz with discussions of massive open online courses and MOOCs, as they were called. Companies like Coursera and edX, Udacity, and others came into that space. I'm wondering what Chancellor or President Cross's opinion is of whether the promise has been of those types of models have been fulfilled, and if the UW is currently incorporating those types of models into its program or its future vision. Thanks.
Chris, thanks so much for that call. Ray, when you were chancellor of colleges and extension, that was something you championed. How is that working out?
Actually, Chris is right. A few years ago, MOOCs came onto the scene because they were free and they were incredibly popular. That's really died down, as Chris probably knows. But there has been an expansion and growth in online programs, and as the process gets better and the support systems for those programs get better, that has grown, as well as hybrid. That is, you're in the class as well as online. Those have all grown enormously, and the UW Flex is doing exceedingly well right now, which is a competency-based model, as you referenced, John. It's been very well received, and it's growing. And it's designed to serve those non-traditional students. If you're working and you have three kids, it's hard for you to go back and live in the dorm. It's not going to happen. You have to be able to continue to make money and survive, and that's what those programs are designed to do.
UW-Whitewater has been in the spotlight lately. An investigation found at least 7 to 10 women who say they were sexually harassed by Pete Hill, a husband of former UW-Whitewater Chancellor Beverly Copper. Hill is banned from campus. Beverly will be a tenured psychology professor. How do you think the UW system handled that case?
Actually, I think we handled it very well. As soon as we could validate anything, we conducted three separate investigations into that process. And those, as you know, those things are often hard to deal with when there's a he said, she said. But every time we heard something, we dealt with it immediately. And when we had some concrete evidence, we acted. And so I'm very pleased with the way we responded to that.
What have we learned from the UW-Whitewater investigation, and how, if anything, will that change the way the system handles these cases in the future?
I think the system, long before the Michigan State situation, developed some much more aggressive policy. We had a task force working on that for 2 years. How do we do this fairly, honestly, legally, appropriately? The policy which has guided us through all of this also led to what we often refer to with respect to employees, not passing the harasser. We're a part of a national organization. In fact, we're one of the charter members that helped develop policies like that. And we're working with Harvard and Ohio State and Michigan and Stanford to define and better outline our responses and the way we handle this through our policies and practices, John.
Let's take some more calls here in the remaining few minutes of the program. We'll start with Jack in Milwaukee.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to President Cross. I've taught for many years in the UW system. I teach in the UW colleges, who have now joined with the 4-year comprehensives, of course. But faculty salaries have lagged behind so drastically in the UW college structure for decades, and I'm wondering what President Cross is going to do to keep talented faculty. So many have left the 2-year campuses, partially due to salary rates.
Jack, thanks for that call. Faculty salary has been an issue for a long time, hasn't it?
It sure has, John, and Jack is right. UW College's faculty are compensated less than their peers in the four-year institutions, even though their credentials are very comparable. And so I appreciate and respect Jack's concern. One of the long-term impacts, I hope, of this restructuring is that those differences will be mediated over time. We are seeking significant increase in compensation for our faculty in this budget and staff. And that's an important part of this. But the difference between what the two-year campuses, the employees at the two-year campuses are being paid and what their counterparts at the four-year institutions is pretty significant. And Jack is, he's absolutely right. It's been that way for a long time. Hopefully the restructuring over time will help address that challenge.
Jack, thanks for your call. Let's go to Sarah in Madison next. Sarah, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on. My question has to do with attendance in the two-year colleges. So as a fellow alum at UW-Waukesha, I was just wondering, why has there never been any discussion about having dormitories on campus? I know that is a huge pull for students right when they graduate from high school, having that separation from their parents, and I think that might be a way to keep enrollment high.
Sarah, thanks for the call. So do we need dorms at the two-year schools?
We actually have residence halls at a majority of the two-year institutions. We do not at Waukesha, as I recall, or a few others. But Sarah is right. That does have an impact. They were originally established to be a local campuses so that students could stay at home and attend these campuses, which made it less expensive for them. So that's how they were originally set up, and that's why we don't have those at every campus. But we have been adding them where appropriate, Sarah, and we do have them at most of the two-year institutions at this point.
Sarah, thank you so much for that call. Boy, lots more to talk about here, but as we are bound by the clock, we're going to have to call a halt. Ray Cross, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to talk to you again.
Likewise, John. Enjoy your partial retirement.
Yeah, I'm for rent in retirement. Ray Cross is the president of the UW system. He joined us from our studios in Madison. Just ahead, a soggy spring has set Wisconsin farmers behind schedule. A specialist evaluates how that will impact crops this season and if there's time for farmers to adjust their planting plans. I'm John Munson, in for Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.